Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed. Hey, what's up? Welcome to NBCC. My name is Lester Bell Jr., aka Pastor Jay. Look, I'm glad that you joined our live stream on today. I pray that something will be said that will help transform your life. Look, our outline is on our Facebook page, and it's also on our website, www.nbcc8.org. I hope you're blessed by today's word. Here it comes. Over here, I'm gonna do this fast over here, and then the enemy got us distracted. And when anything divided against itself will not stand, a house divided against itself will not stand. So we have to stand. Amen. Amen. So we are in a new series. Happy New Year to everybody that I have not seen. Happy New Year to you all. 2020 is gonna be a phenomenal year. I hope you're ready. Are you ready? I am ready for 2020. It's going to be a phenomenal year. So our series for this month will be multi. Everybody say multi.
Now, multi is a prefix for multiply.
Because God is a God of multiplication. God does not look at life as add, subtract. God looks at life as multiply. Everybody say multiplication.
Y'all remember those multiplication tables we used to do in school?
Where we had to do like one times one, we had to do it within a minute. Y'all remember that? That's the type of God we serve. See, God is a God of multiplication across the board. And so we're going to find out in the Word of God what this multiplication is. So the multi-series is going to be on vision. And the subtitle for the series is Catching the Vision of the House and Running with It. When we get on one accord here, and the Sunday school class kind of started off with this. See, when we are in agreement with one another, when we get on one accord with one another, our vision becomes
it becomes not impossible, but it becomes possible. But when we're trying to do our own vision and we're trying to do our own thing, and I'm trying to do my own thing over here, and you're trying to do your own thing over there, and then we got two different mindsets when it comes to the vision, then we don't have any power. See, God wants the church, the local house, to have power. And how does the local house have power? The local house has power because of the vision and because of agreement and because of being on one accord. So God wants us to be on one accord. Everybody say this with me.
God wants us to
be on one accord. So this week we're going to talk about something. We're going to talk about gifts by vision. Gift times vision. Everybody say gifts times vision. Vision. So we're gonna go back to the Old Testament and study some vision in the Old Testament. So if you would turn your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 11. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11. Great job. Awesome. I know. Great job. And once you get there, if you would stand to your feet. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11. And throughout this month, we're going to discover what Nehemiah did and how Nehemiah reacted and how Nehemiah responded to some things. Anybody know the story of Nehemiah? Anybody know the story of Nehemiah? If you don't, we're going to learn it this month. We're going to learn it this month because it's vision in Nehemiah. It's vision in Nehemiah. So everybody in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11. And that should be the last verse of Nehemiah. And then when we finish that, we're going to go to Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. So let's read Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11, on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day. I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. So why are we reading Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11? I wanted to give you some pretext to what we're going to discover in Nehemiah chapter 2. Because Nehemiah knew who he was. So Nehemiah knew his gifting. Nehemiah knew his calling. So he knew who he was. So he was able to have power in knowing who he was. So Nehemiah was what? He was the king's cupbearer. Remember that, he was the king's cupbearer. So Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 through 8. So just turn the next page and just go down a little bit. We're going to read that together. And it's some reading, but it's okay. So Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Everyone there? Everyone there? And this is what it's, let's read, I'm gonna read this, and just follow along on the screens. It says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now remember, Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. Now I have never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, what do you request? Now, in Nehemiah 1, just a little nugget. In Nehemiah 1, Nehemiah had just prayed to God. Basically, he prayed to God for favor in the king's sight. He prayed for favor in the king's sight. Verse 5, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be, and when will your return? And when will you return, rather? So it pleased the king to send me, and I sent him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, and they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah.
and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Let's look from God in prayer. God, we love you, we thank you, we honor you for this word that is about to go forth. We pray, Lord God, that your people will catch this word, Lord God, and that they will apply their gifts to this house. So God, we love you, we thank you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you sit down, say multi.
Multi.
Multi. Amen. This last line of this one stands out to me because it says, and the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Now, Nehemiah had to know who he was. Nehemiah had to know his role. Nehemiah had a role where he was, so let me give you some context of what the king's cupbearer would do. So the king's cupbearer would taste the wine before they gave it to the king. Now, if somebody wanted to poison the king, and the king cupbearer drunk the poison, he would be out of a job because he would be dead. So Nehemiah had a very important role in being the king's cupbearer. See, Nehemiah knew his role. Nehemiah did not try to act as the king. Nehemiah didn't try to act as the chef. Nehemiah didn't try to act as the winemaker. Nehemiah flowed in his role. So a lot of times in church, we don't want to flow in our role. We want to flow in the role of somebody else. We want to flow in the role of the pastor. Or we want to flow in the role of the prophet. Or we want to flow in the role of the apostle. When God has not called us to that, see, you have to flow in the role that God has called you to. Because when you flow in the role that God has called you to, then you will see that God has favored you to flow in that role. See, God favored Nehemiah to flow in the role of the cupbearer of the king. So, because the scripture says, it says this in the last line of verse 8, it says, and the king granted to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. So God's hand was upon him because he flowed in his roles. Everybody say, flow in your role. So what is multi? Multi means the meaning is many, multiple, much. Multi meaning, the meaning of multi is, because it's kind of a prefix, because you multiply, you got multiplication, is many, multiple, much. So when you hear many, multiple, much, you think of more than one, more than two, more than two. So the first commandment God gave us was to be fruitful and multiply. When God created you, the first commandment he ever gave you was to be fruitful and multiply. See, when you are fruitful, you are healthy. When you multiply, you produce what you are. See, I can teach you what I know, but I can only produce who I am. Did you hear me? I can teach you what I know, but I can only produce who I am. So God told us to be fruitful and multiply. So when we are fruitful, we are healthy. Because a tree that bears much fruit is healthy. Are you healthy? Or are you unhealthy? Are you flowing in your gift or are you not flowing in your gift? So the first commandment that God gave us was to be fruitful and multiply. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. I should show you in the word. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. If not, you can just look on the screen. Amen, because I got a lot I want to share with you. And this is what it says for time's sake. God said, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. You hear that? And God blessed them, and God said unto them. So the first thing that God said unto them after he blessed them was, be fruitful and multiply.
See, are we being fruitful and multiplied? Or are we being unfruitful and subtracting? Because a lot of times in church, we'll subtract from people. Because we'll try to operate in their gift. And so there's not room for them to operate in their gift because we're trying to operate in their gift. See, we're out of our lane. See, a lot of us are out of our lane in church. We try to get in everybody else's lane. Well, let me do this over here. Let me do this over here. And let me do this over here. What I'm learning now as a pastor is I can't do everything. It's impossible. And I'm not going to try to worry myself to try to do everything. Because I know God has placed smart people around me, as you are brilliant people who are gifted, who are spiritually gifted to do what I can't do. See, it's not just for the pastor to just do everything, go to every hospital visit and go to every funeral and go to... It's not just for the pastor to do that. See, we have to get out of the mindset of religion, because religion will teach you that the pastor is the main person who does everything. That's not the type of life that God ordained for me or for any other pastor. God did not ordain for the pastor to do everything. So that means that we, as a whole, have to step up and work together. Because when we step up and work together, guess what? We have power. See, think of it like this. If I'm a raindrop and you're a raindrop, and we're trying to move something out of the way, If I'm in this lane and you in that lane trying to do something different, do we really have power? No, we don't. When the rain fell on your car this weekend or this past week, did it move your car out the way? No, it didn't. But when we are flowing in the vision that God has for this house, when we're flowing on one accord and going towards one vision, one way, guess what? We move anything that's in our way. So God wants us to move as the tsunami. That's going to be our term. Move as the tsunami. I like that. Move as the tsunami. So God wants us to move as the tsunami. So God spoke to two and told them to multiply. So in the scripture it says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. So God, in that scripture, because he created male and female, he spoke to two and told them to multiply. See, God's math is to multiply. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30. See, God's math is to multiply. And when we understand God's math is to multiply, then we will start to move differently in life. See, the reason why churches now don't really have power is because we're trying to do our own thing. Everybody in the church trying to do their own thing. Everybody trying to be everybody instead of being who God called them to be. See, God didn't call you to be everybody. God called you to be you. And that's what I'm learning now. God didn't call me to be everybody. God called me to be me. Because there's some things that I can't do mechanically that Mr. Willie can do. There's some things that I can't do, I can't do to her ability and Lady Pilar's ability to excite the crowd, to make everybody smile as soon as you see her. So God has placed around us, around me and around this house, people who can do certain things. And then when we are doing our certain things and staying in our lane, then we can move together. See, God wants us to move together. God doesn't want us to move over here and move over here, because when I'm going two opposite directions or four opposite directions and I'm going in one direction, then I'm divided. And the scripture says a house divided against itself will not stand. So we have to stand. So this is what Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30 says. It says, how should one chase a thousand and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? So let's focus on that A part. So it says that one can chase a thousand. One. You by yourself. You big, bad. You can chase a thousand. But both of us together, we can chase 10,000. If that's two, now here's the math. It doesn't make sense, right? Because it says one chase 1,000. But two chase 10,000. Wouldn't it be two chase 2,000? Shouldn't that be the math? Two chase 2,000 because we can both each chase 1,000 apiece? No, this is saying that God's math is deeper than addition. And so when we understand that God's map is a map of multiplication, then we will work together. Because this here is a signal, is a sign that shows that God's map is greater than our map. It's higher than our map. It's deeper than our map. So when we understand who we are, and we sow it into the house, then we can move, we can chase 10,000. We can chase 10,000. Now this says 1,000 to 10,000. So that means that, okay, so my 1,000 and your 1,000 equals 10,000. What? That's some multiplication. I'm gonna coin this term. That's some God duplication. That's some God duplication. GODTIPLICATION. Write it down. God duplication. Because that's how God works. God works in multiplication. So when we understand who we are and we sow that into the house, then we have power. See, when you are working by yourself, you are limiting what God can do when you work with someone else. That's when you work by yourself. See, God never created you to be a lone ranger. He never created you. See, if God created you to be a lone ranger, guess what? You would have been on this earth by yourself. You would have been doing everything by yourself. But God never created us to be the lone ranger in this, especially when it comes to ministry. Because God understands that when people are on one accord, when people are in agreement, Scripture says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Unless they agree. So how can a married couple walk together unless they agree? Elder Brown said this morning, it was really profound. He said, when a married couple walks together and they agree, they may not necessarily love each other, but they can move things because they agree. Because they are walking together, so they agree, so they walk in one way. But when they're divided against each other, then they can't agree. See, a lot of us in church, we can't agree with one another. I can't agree with you because you do it this way, and I'm used to it this way. You do it that way, and I'm used to it that way. But God wants to do a new thing. He wants to do a new thing in this house. See, God wants this house to be multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-generational, and multiplying. God wants this house to be multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-generational, and multiplying. God wants this church to be multicultural, multi-ethnic, multiplying, and multi-generational. I'm going to keep saying it until you get it. God wants this church to be multicultural, multi-ethnic, multiplying, and multi-generational. God wants that for this house. See, God has given me a vision and a dream for this house to be multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-generational, multiplying. I want y'all to get that. That's the vision of this house. That's the vision of this house for us to be multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-generational, multiplying. So God has raised up people in this house who will lead in certain areas, amen? So you can have power. See, it's not just for me to just do everything. And I think that's what drives, I think that's, I'm just kind of just speaking from Lesterville, Virginia. It's not in the word. I think that what kills a lot of pastors today. They try to do every single thing. And they get weighed down because they're trying to carry all the weight by themselves. Look, I'm 30. I got a beautiful wife here. I'm trying to make it to 120 with her. So that means that I cannot do every single thing. That means I can't be at every single meeting. That means I can't be at every single cleanup. Because God has gifted me to do something to help you all. And if I'm weighed down, if I'm bogged down with every menial task, every minute task of MBCC, guess what? We'll never move to the next dimension. God has called me to be Joshua and take us to the promised land. So that means that I have to see, this is not in the message. Moses was once over the children of Israel, right? So 2.3 million people. So there was a time when Moses was trying to do everything. Moses was trying to handle everybody's problems. He was trying to consult God. And then here comes Moses' father-in-law and says, hey, look, what you're doing won't last. So he said, appoint the people in thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And so what they did was they appointed people, they delegated authority. See, I'm looking now to delegate authority because I can't do everything by myself. And if I try to do everything by myself, I may not even make it to 33 like Jesus. So it's important for us to step up and know our gift, because when we know our gift, then we can flow in our gift. See, I'm looking to let people flow in their gifting here. Because this is a house of liberty. This is a house of where you can flow in your gifts. And see, I'm not just the big main attraction here. And I will never be just the big main attraction. You are the big main attraction in this house. Because it's not about the past, it's about the people. It's about us working together so we can move forward together. Everybody say move forward together. So God never created you to be a lone wolf and work alone. He created your gift to work with other gifts and bring glory to his name. So your gift, my gift, and your gift, they don't compete against one another. My gift as a pastor and role of exhortation doesn't compete against the gift of music. It doesn't compete against the gift of prophecy. It doesn't compete against the gift. So a lot of times we want to compete in our gift. Am I gift better than your gift? Because I'm sitting here and I'm sitting there and you sitting there. That's irrelevant to God. That's irrelevant to him. He wants our gifts to complement our gifts and not compete against our gifts. So we should complement one another and work together, because when we complement one another and work together, then my gift gets better, your gift gets better, everybody gets better. So that's the mindset that you have to have. That's the mindset. So because God honors when we work together. God honors when we work together. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 through 20. Man, this is good. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 through 20. Man, we may have to make this last two Sundays. Everyone there? If not, just look on the screen. This is Jesus talking, and it says this. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So if we agree on earth concerning anything, it didn't say, well, section A says you can only agree on this, you can only agree on that, you can only agree on this. It says anything. So anything is anything, right? Anything is everything. So when it says it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So what looks like two or three of you in the midst, it's actually multiplication, because God is there in the midst, right there with you. Because God is a God of multiplication. And when we understand that God is a God of multiplication, yes, when we agree and God comes in that agreement, then we have power. We can ask anything, and it shall be done to us. Anything. So see, a lot of times we're asking for this over here, we're asking for this over here, we're asking for that over there, and we're really just putting a thousand to flight. But when we come together, then we put 10,000 to flight. And just imagine if we, now this says, it says two in that scripture. Now just imagine if we just all came together. Just imagine how powerful this place would be. Just imagine how filled this place would be. See, it's not just for the pastor to go out and get people to bring them into the house. It's up to you to do that. It's up to you to do that. See when you are in a place like this, a word loving place, a place that's going to teach you truth, you should be going out, hey, look, come to New Beginning, because your life is going to transform. Has your life been transformed here? Has your life been transformed here? If your life has been transformed here, be a witness to somebody else. Evangelize to somebody else. Bring them into the house. This house should be full. But how does this house get full? This house gets full through your gifting. Through you operating in your gifting. See, when you're operating your gifting, then you say, wow, I can operate in my gifting at that house. Let me go out and look for other gifts that can operate in their gifting in this house. Let me just not just be the, oh, I'm the only person who can do this. I'm the only person who can do this. No, replace yourself. Because when you replace yourself, you always have a place. So God can work with you when you operate in your gifting. The question is, what is your gifting? What is your gifting? Because God desires that we work in our gifting, because our gifting will open up the opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Your gifting will open up the opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. So when you say, okay, look, I'm submitted to this house, I come to this house, I'm going to submit my gifting to this house, guess what's going to happen? It's going to allow us to help advance the kingdom of God even further than me just trying to do it by myself. So when you are trying to operate, listen to this, when you're trying to operate in someone else's gifting, you are limiting what God can do through you. When you are trying to operate in somebody else's gifting, you are limiting what God can do through you. See, when you are fixated on the wrong position, it delays you from becoming the right person. When you are fixated on the wrong position, it delays you from becoming the right person. See, everybody's so fixated on, well, the pastor's so glamorous, or this, the praise team leader so glamorous, or the musician so glamorous, or the administrator job so glamorous, or the exhorter job so glamorous. I want to do that. See, when you fixated on the wrong position, you try to make up for the shortcomings yourself instead of allowing God to make up for the shortcomings. But when I am in my right position, then I become the right person in that right position. But when I'm in the wrong position, I will never be the right person in the wrong position. I will never be the right person in the wrong gifting. So you have to see God and ask God, what is your gifting? Because giftings work best when we are all on one accord. Giftings work best when we are all on one accord. When you bring your gifting, I bring my gifting, we all bring our gifting to the house. Guess what? We all get better. We all get better. There isn't a person that won't get better from someone they're gifting into the house. So Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And the time flying. Y'all got about 80 more minutes? Everybody said, nah, we're going home. You let us out at 11:30 last Sunday. We're going home at 11:30 this Sunday, right? Right. Right, I think y'all have gotten used to the 11:30. God is going to allow us to be doing multiple services soon. Amen. So that's the purpose behind 10 to 11:30. Because I'm not going to be up here burning myself out. I'm not. Whoever other minister we have, we can't burn them out as well. So we have to think about other people when it comes to this. Everybody at Acts chapter 2. And this is what it says. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So they wasn't in the Honda Accord. They wasn't in the first generation Honda Accord. They were all on one accord. So they were of the same mind. Not in the Honda Accord, but they are. See, some people read that and be like, they had an accord in Jesus' days and they did all that walking? No. That was the first accord. All right? First accord was really camels, right? No. So that Honda wasn't invented back in the biblical days, okay? So when you read your Bible, don't be like, man, I didn't know they had a Honda Accord in the day of Pentecost. But listen to this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So they were all of the same mind in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Listen to this. And when this sound occurred, the multitude, there's multi right there. The multitude So the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all those who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues that the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." Now go back to verse 7. And if you look at verse 7, it says, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these those who speak Galileans?" So there were all of these different languages, there were all of these different ethnicities, there were all of these different cultures, all in one place. See, God wants this house to look like the Acts 2 house. He doesn't just want us to be one color, one culture. He wants us to be multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-generational, multiplying. So when we understand who God is, then we will understand that God is a God of multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-generational, multiplying. Because there were all of these different types of people. So many different types of people. People from Asia, people from Libya, people from Arab nations, all types of people. Because God can use anyone in any situation at any time when they yield to him. God can use anyone at any time, anywhere, in any situation, if they yield to him. So when you yield to him, you are on one accord. You are in alignment. But God wants us in alignment. Everybody say, God wants us in one alignment. So when we are all on one accord, we can see the church grow as it should. When we are all on one accord, we can see the church grow as it should. See, look, I'm expecting Acts 2 to grow for NBCC. That's what I'm expecting. That's what's in the Bible. But that's what I'm expecting. And what you expect, you prepare for. I've been preparing for that. I've been preparing for that all of 2019. However much longer, when it comes, I'm still going to be preparing for it. Because what you expect, you prepare for. So I'm expecting that this house will look like the Acts 2 house. And in order for us to get to Acts 2 growth, we must apply Acts 2 principles to our ministry.
Hallelujah.
In order for us to get to Acts 2 growth, we must apply Acts 2 principles to our ministry. Go down a little bit in Acts to verse 40. Now Peter, after all of this had happened, they were like, "Man, these people must be drunk off the new wine." Peter was like, "No, it's daytime. Nobody not drunk off new wine." And that's when the scripture, that's when Peter goes on to say that in the last days, all people will be filled with the Spirit. You know, your sons will prophesy, your young men, your old men shall see visions. You know, all the whole everybody will be filled with the Spirit. So Acts chapter 2, verse 40 says this. It says, "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." So when everybody was on one accord in one place, and they had listened to the word, it says this. It says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls, were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So listen to this. This is where the principle comes in. It says, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, one vision,
same mind, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. See, God wants to add to this house daily. He just doesn't want to add to this house. Well, in January this happened, and in December this happened, and in July. No, he wants to add to this church daily. But in order for God to add to this church daily, then everybody must flow in their role. Everybody must know who they are. And when you know who you are, then you can flow in your role. And we can see that daily added church role. Amen. And so this key point. There are unchurched people who need to know that Jesus loves them and needs them.
Hallelujah.
There are unchurched people who need to know that Jesus loves them and needs them. There are unchurched people who are hurting and need to know that God can handle whatever it is that they are experiencing. So you have a unique gifting that is to be released in this house to help us reach the unchurched. You have a unique gifting that has to be released in this house to help us reach the unchurched. So you have a unique gifting within you that is meant to be added to the unique giftings of this house, and we put tens of thousands to flight. So when you sow your gifting, everybody sows their gifting, stay in their lane, sow their gifting, then we can put tens of thousands to flight. The scripture says this. It says, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. What does that mean? That means that people aren't flowing in their gifting. Because if you're flowing in that gifting, then we can go out and get the harvest. But since you're not flowing in your gifting, that's when Jesus said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So God has equipped you with a gift that he has released to you. He wants you to release. So everybody in this room, when the sound of my voice, even the kids over there, they have a gift within them, right? And so what I do with that gift is my gift back to God. If we just learn about the gift. What I do with the gift that God has given me is my gift back to God. And what I'm basically saying is, God, thank you for blessing me with this gift. And I'm going to use this gift to help further your kingdom. I'm going to use this gift to help further your agenda. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. And I really, if you don't get anything I've said this whole time, I really want you to understand what we're about to go into right here. And this is what it says. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Stop. So the pastors and teachers' job is to what? Do everything?
No.
Pastors and teachers' job is to what? Go to every hospital that every member is in, and go to every funeral of every member's uncle, mama, sister, brother, nephew, cousin. That's according to scripture, that's not the job of the pastor and the teacher. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So the pastors and teachers are to equip the saints. And what are the saints to do? Work the ministry.
Work
the ministry. So when you work the ministry, what happens when you work the ministry? You edify the body of Christ. So it's a system here. It's not a system of who's better than who. It's not that. It's not that. It's just saying God has set up this system so things can flow the right way. So it says, I'm reading to you again, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So when you work the ministry, you edify the body of Christ. Verse 13 says this, till we all come to the unity, there's that accord again, there's that same vision, same mind, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should be no longer children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the whole body for the edifying of itself in love. So when I understand my part, then I help the body grow. But when I don't understand my part, then I cannot help the body grow because I'm trying to do everybody else's part. See, the fingers can't say to the toes, we don't need you, we're going to cut you off. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to lose balance. It's not going to work. So every part of your body is meant to help you grow. Every part of the body of Christ is meant to help us grow and to help bring people into the fullness of Christ. So the pastor was never meant to do everything by himself. Pastor Jay was never created to do everything by himself. Now, I could do everything by myself, but y'all be looking for another pastor in a few years because I'll be burnt out. That could happen. So the pastor was never meant to do everything by himself. Now, the type of leader I am a servant leader. So I believe in serving you. So that doesn't mean that I'm just going to make you do all the work. Like, you do this, you know, I'm going to work with you. I'm going to work with you. This whole kids church thing that we did, I work with them to help us bring that to life. I just didn't, hey, you go start this kids church. Let me know how it go. No, we work together. I was out at Office Depot getting signs and getting stuff made and getting the logos made and buying fruit juices and goldfish and all that. I'm going to work with you. That's the type of leader that I am. I'm not the type of leader that's going to be like, you go do this. I'm going to say, let us do this together. Because when we do this together, then we share the weight. But when one person tries to do it by themselves, guess what? They get bogged down, they get burned out, they get church hurt, and then they're gone. That's not the type of culture we will have at New Beginning Christian Center. Our culture will be to work with one another. Our culture will be to not be intimidated by somebody else's gifting. Our culture will be to love somebody, love everybody. It doesn't matter what their gifting may be. It doesn't matter what their color may be. It doesn't matter what their beliefs may be. We're going to love everybody because that's what the scripture tells us to do. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So this is why God has placed you here in NBCC for us to work together and reach those who are in church. My vision for this house is to go after the unchurched because there's millions of people out there that are unchurched that needs to know this message of truth, this message of grace, this message of love, this good news, this gospel. And so it's up to you to... It's up to me to help equip you with the right knowledge and truth and information so you can go out and help edify the body of Christ through the working of the ministry. So God works in systems. God works in systems. So the body is a system that has systems. The body is a system that has systems. For example, you have a nervous system. You have a circulatory system, you have a muscular system, you have an immune system, you have an endocrine system, you have a digestive system, you have all these systems, right? Do these systems compete with one another? Is your immune system competing with your muscular system? Now, when they do compete, that shows that your body is unhealthy, it's out of alignment. So why can't we use the wisdom that God has given us? Everyday wisdom. Our body is working together to help us live the life that God wants us to live, to help us live a healthy life. Why can't we apply this to the... Now, we experience this in our physical bodies. Why can't we experience this in our spiritual bodies? Are you intimidated by somebody else's gifting? Are you... See, a lot of times when people are intimidated by somebody else's gifting, that's just their insecurity speaking out. Oh, you gifted like this? What does that say about me? No. God never called us to compete with one another. God called us to work together. And when we work together, then I don't have to be insecure of your gifting. Because your gifting, we're just a small part of a bigger picture. And so when you understand that we're a smaller part of a bigger picture, then you won't get so stuck on yourself.
Right.
Oh,
I'm the leader, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm this. No, we work together. We work together. I want you to get this, that we work together. And when we work together, then we see things happen together. Because God wants to do some things in this house in 2020. But we must work together.
Amen.
We must work together. So your body has systems. So these systems work together as a whole to keep the body healthy and growing. So the same flow should be in the church as well. So the reason the Acts 2 church drew daily is because everyone flowed in their gifting. Everyone flowed in their system. Everyone flowed in their system. So they did not try to flow in somebody else's system. You never see the immune system trying to flow in the muscular system. The immune system is immune system. It goes and it gets rid of bacteria in your bloodstream, and it gets rid of all of this stuff. So you never see it trying to compete with another system. So 1 Corinthians chapter 20, verses 12 through 14. Give me a few more minutes. We'll get out shortly. I gotta close this out. First Corinthians chapter 20, verses 12 through 14. No, 16?
This is 16.
Did I write down the wrong thing? First Corinthians? For the body is one, it has many members. So 1 Corinthians 20. I wrote that down. It must be two then. It's two. Yeah, I wrote that down wrong. I apologize. But listen to this. It says, for as the body is one and has, maybe I meant 12. 12. That's mine. I wrote it down, but I typed it out the wrong way. 12. I thought so. There we go. 12. 12. Everyone there? 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. 12 through 14. So that's why I need smart people like you all to help me out. I need smart people like you all. See, that's why God places brilliant people at NBCC. So when I make a mishap like this, which is okay, it's not the end of the world. It's okay. Yeah, you can't cheat, right? That's why I did it. So you couldn't cheat. Just to really, because I'm wealthy. Not today. Not today. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says this. It says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So it says the body is one, but it has many members. So when you flow in your gift, you are really saying, thank you, God, for all that you have done for me. And you're not competing with somebody else's gifting. So your gifting, now the question comes, what does my gifting have to do with vision, though? What does my gifting have to do with vision? See, your gifting has to do with vision, because when you know who God has called you to be, you can flow in the vision with greater ease because you know your role. What does gifts have to do with vision? When you know your gifts, you can flow in the vision with easier. You can flow in the vision easier. You won't have to be. Because a lot of times we try to flow in the vision, we try to fit and try to do something we're not. And then we make it harder for us to see the vision come true because we are too busy trying to be something we're not. Be who God called you to be. Be unique. Be different. It's okay. It's okay to be different. So how do I know and use my gifting? How do I know and use my gifting? I know I'm over time, but how do I know and use my gifting? Number one, you ask God to reveal to you your gifting.
Yes.
You ask God to reveal to you your gifting. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8 says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So when you ask, then God will give. So James chapter 1 verse 5 says this, and if anyone longs to be wise,
Ask God for wisdom and he will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but he will overwhelm your failures with his generous grace. See, we try to overwhelm people's failures with their failures. We try to overwhelm people's lack of wisdom. Well, you there's so much you got to learn and so much you should know. God doesn't do that to us. Why are you doing that to other people? Why are you scolding people for their lack of wisdom? It's okay. Let them grow. You grew. You had no one else. All you knew at the age that you're at right now, when you were their age or a younger age, you didn't know everything that you know now. You had to grow into that. So we have to allow that grace that was given to us to be given to other people as well. And when we allow that grace to be given to other people as well, then we will see grace more freely in our life. So it's important to ask God for your gifting. Number two, when God reveals your gifting, develop it and use it to give God glory. When God gives you, reveals your gifting, develop it and use it to give God glory. It says this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Every believer has received great grace gifts. So use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry of God's grace. For example, if you have a speaking gift, speak as though God were speaking his words through you. If you have the gift of serving, do it passionately with the strength God gives you, so that in everything God alone will be glorified through Jesus Christ. For him belong the power and the glory forever throughout all ages. Amen. So when you know your gift, flow in your gift to give God glory. And the last one, my favorite one, use your gift at NBCC.
Amen.
Use your gift at NBCC. Because when you use your gift at NBCC, NBCC gets better. Amen. 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 Let's give God some praise in this place. Amen.
Glory.
Thank you for joining us on live stream today. I pray that this word bless your spirit. Look, there are multiple ways to sow into the kingdom and sow into NBCC. You can sow by texting the word give to 256-472-5425. Or you can go to our website, www.nbcc8.org, and click on give. Look, I pray your week is amazingly great. I pray that you receive everything that you're looking for this week. I pray that there be peace, love, joy, and happiness that will flow through your life this week. Thank you once again for joining our live stream, and we'll see you again next week. Be blessed.